We want to begin then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We want to read verse 1 through verse 4. It's what we read last night. This introduces our subject. Although I have a text, this is really a topical message. If you were here last night, you know the structure. And I'll wear you out if you're going to be following everything. And if you're taking notes, you're going to have to really be on guard. But let's look at the text. Verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, or whether God knoweth." Let me start over on that verse too. I missed a part of it. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." If you recall last night, we get our text from verse 2, where he talks about that he was caught up to the third heaven. So last night I began a study on the subject of heaven. And I remind you that I looked up every verse of the Bible, not last night, but I looked up every verse of the Bible which contained the word heaven or heavens, and then made an assessment of them. And this, of course, is a two-part series. Was the result of that study. And so last night I introduced the subject with my text, as we did tonight, and those words, the third heaven. And so then using this depiction, I defined last night heaven by the use of a myriad of verses, and it is then my objective to consider the other half of my study. Therefore, I shall attempt to give you a description of heaven tonight. And so, of course, the title of my message is The Third Heaven, and subtitle may be General Declarations About God's Heaven. And so when Brother Jim wants to repeat the titles to you, let's see if he can remember the subtitle. No, I'm just kidding about that. But the title is The Third Heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that you would use it for your honor and glory. Strengthen these people. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for your blessings upon those that have been healed. And we pray for those that need healing and watch care and provision. We pray that you continue to bless that. And you've heard our prayers. And Lord, we pray for the lost, that they might be saved. Help them to realize that you are real. Heaven is real, and eternity is real. Amen. And one of these days, every one of us is going to die and step out into eternity. Amen. And so, oh God, we pray that you would save the lost and encourage those of us who are saved as we look forward to heaven and seeing Jesus face to face. Lord, we ask that you just give us all the strength that we need to serve you here and to be found faithful, occupying till you come. And so encourage us. Lord, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give you just a very brief review of a little bit of what I talked about last night. I gave you proofs of the three heavens. And I spoke of our atmosphere as the first heaven, the second is the universe, and third, where God dwells. And one commentator describes it this way. Just bear with me for just a moment. The first heaven is the aerial, including the clouds and the atmosphere, the heavens above us, until we come to the stars. The second heaven is the starry heavens, the heavens in which the sun, the moon, and the stars appear to be situated. And then the third heaven is the heaven beyond the stars, the heaven which was supposed to be and is the residence of God, of angels, and of holy spirits. Those are the three heavens. I believe that's an accurate description of them. And as I mentioned last night, try that sometime. If you ask somebody if they're going to die and go to heaven, just say, "Are you going to die and go to the third heaven?" I'm going to have to try that and see how that works. Well, we want to think about this third heaven, defined last night, description tonight. Keep in mind, that's where God dwells. It's His residence, and this is where God administrates from. Heaven. First of all, then, description. What will you see in heaven? Well, the angels reside in heaven. Isaiah, I ask you to turn to chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Angels reside in heaven. Now, I don't believe that all angels now reside in heaven. They did at one time, but there were some who rebelled and were cast out of heaven. And yet there are still many, many angels there. I have no clue how many, but there are angels in heaven. Indication of this is the text in regard to the devil himself and Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And what we find here is that the devil, he was in heaven, and the scripture tells us in another place that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And man, he had the greatest position an angel could have, and he sinned against God. Sin was found in him, and he was cast out of heaven. Now, he's not going to be there, but I guarantee you there are many angels, the elect angels that have never fallen, that are in heaven, and the angels reside there. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. You don't have to take my word for these things. That's why we show you the scripture, so that you can look at these things yourself and recognize, hey, the Bible teaches this. He's just not up there making stuff up. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. What do you read over here? Talking about the future resurrection, and it says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, listen if you will. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Angels reside in heaven. The elect angels reside there. And we know the Bible tells us about angelic appearances. What that tells me is they left heaven, came to earth to appear. And so when the angel appeared at the birth of Jesus and the angels and the heavenly host, all them, they came from heaven, out from beyond the stars, and they came here.
Amen.
And why? Because the angels reside in heaven. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, listen. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Also Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, and so many other verses that give us indication that the angels reside in heaven. So I have a good indication that when I get to the third heaven, I'm going to see angels. Secondly, I submit unto you, as we give a description of heaven, the spiritual kingdom is one from heaven. You're there in Matthew. Go back to chapter 3 if you would. Matthew chapter 3. I mean, my friends, you know, society and philosophy will say, well, religion is just a crutch that man needs, and it's just developed over a period of time, and it's all man-generated. No, it isn't. What we believe and what we follow isn't from here. It's from heaven. The kingdom of God is from heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, well, the preaching says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Came from heaven. The idea is regard to heaven. Turn to chapter 6, Matthew 6. In the model prayer, what's the words that are expressed? Thy kingdom come. This is verse 10, by the way, Matthew 6, 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, like it is in heaven, come to this earth. Well, we want it to be done here as it is there. Spiritual kingdom is one from heaven. Go over to chapter 21, Matthew. I like this interchange that we are referencing here in this text. And Jesus was very clever. Not that he needed to be clever, but he was just responsive to these people, and he knew he had them. Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And so the Jews were saying, hey, where'd that come from? They're interested. Was it from heaven or men? And they were really trying to trick him. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? And the truth is, if they said, well, it's from earth, then they don't have to follow him. It's from heaven. It's a response of, where did he minister from? He was sent from heaven. Amen. Now, that being the case, you ought to believe it. And you might sit there and you think, well, I'm a skeptic and I don't believe in Jesus and I'm not saved. Why should I respond? Because it's not from here. It's from heaven. We're not making this stuff up. God revealed it to us. And so we realize that John's authority was from heaven. Jesus' authority was from heaven. The apostles' authority was from heaven. The gospel which we preach come from heaven. The kingdom of God is one that comes from heaven. And so it really demands upon every one of us to respond to that, recognizing, well, if it's from heaven, we ought to react to it. Then think about this, about the perspective of heaven. Number three, the saints' future home. That's what heaven is. I look forward to heaven. Do I know everything there is about that? No. Do I comprehend, understand, can I describe? No. And as a matter of fact, of the verses we're looking at tonight, there are others that could be shown to you, other descriptions which may be given. I'm not giving you everything, but I just want you to get a taste of what we know is going to happen there. The saints' future home. I'm glad it's not here. It's going to be there. And with that being the case, you know what? I'm going to have a heavenly body. You're going to if you're saved, you're going to have a heavenly body. Why? Because you'll be in the heavens. Listen, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. From heaven. So we speak of the rapture and we say, well, when Jesus comes back, we believe that the Bible teaches that those who are alive and remain in His coming shall be changed and caught up together in the clouds to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We believe that. Where's that body coming from? Well, I read the scripture. It tells me it comes from heaven. Amen. But at the same time, this body that if I'm alive, I'll be changed. If I'm in a grave, I'll be raised first. And you know why that is, don't you? Why the graves are open, you're raised first. I heard this many years ago. It's just a joke, but they have 6 feet further to go. So that's why the dead in Christ are raised first. I don't know if that's the case or not. Just a joke, I'm sorry. But we'll be changed, and I don't understand all that, but I'll have a body from heaven. That's what the Bible describes, a heavenly body. Philippians 3:21 will give you the same kind of information. That being said, that we have a heavenly body, we also have a heavenly existence. A heavenly existence. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that we have we're to wait for an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm awaiting an inheritance. Some of you are awaiting inheritances here. But you know what? You might get that and you might squander that. And you know what? When you die, you're going to leave it all behind anyway. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance in the heaven waiting up there. And you know what? I'm going to have a heavenly body to step into that heavenly inheritance. Amen. In Hebrews 10, it says in verse 34, "For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully of the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." In heaven. Well, there's a heavenly existence up there. We're just not going to die and then just dissipate in a puff of smoke and then be non-existent. My friend, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're lost, you're going to hell. Amen. You will exist forever. Well, we're talking about the saints' future home as described in the Scripture. Just briefly, we have a heavenly body, a heavenly existence. But as you're still in Matthew, look there in chapter 5, there are also heavenly rewards. Now, Hebrews 10 that I just mentioned indicated that a little bit. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." That was Matthew 5, 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Very familiar text, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." My friend, I would encourage you, don't put all your eggs into this basket, because there is a heaven. And if you're saved, you're going to go there, and there's some rewards that you can lay up there. And as you think about on this earth, well, I can invest and I can do this and lay up for the future days that I might be able to retire. Yeah, you kind of have a concept of that. But if you do all that here, you're just going to leave it all behind. Right. You have to remember, and there's nothing wrong with preparing for the future. I'm not saying cash in your 401ks and all that. You do as God leads you to do. But I'll tell you what, you need to lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. You know why? Because when we have that heavenly existence, when we step into that inheritance with that heavenly body, there are going to be some heavenly rewards that'll be passed out. Yeah. There in chapter 18. It mentions there in Matthew 18:18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What you do here makes a difference up there. Amen. It really does. Luke chapter 6, verse 23. Listen, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Luke 12, 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Every nickel you give to the kingdom of God is an investment in heaven. Amen. It's there's an eternal reward of which you will receive. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not of the health and wealth, prosper gospel that you hear on the television and the radio, that send in your $10 and it's a seed and you'll get $1,000 back and all that kind of thing. I think they're just trying to get your money. You have to be very, very careful about that. But I do know this, that everything I've ever given to God for missions or for church service or evangelism or anything, is if I'm faithful to God, I know that there is a reward in heaven. Amen. And I don't know if it's 10%, 100%. It really makes no difference to me. I just know there's a reward. Amen. And that's just part of the saints' future home. But also, I would submit unto you, do you know what we'll have in that existence, what we'll see, what we'll hear? It's one verse I'm going to share with you. Heavenly praise. Heavenly praise. I enjoy the music. By the way, I appreciate all the singing and the specials. I enjoy that. And you know, in heaven, there'll be heavenly praise. I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I know one of these days I'll be in heaven and I'll hear that song.
Amen.
And it's praise unto God. Amen. And so there's a little bit about the saints' future home. But then let's back up to a major subpoint here, or major point. What will we see in heaven? We're kind of curious about that. Again, we're not going to try to give you every description or everything that we could find in the Scripture that may relate to this. But I submit unto you, one of the things we're going to see in heaven, and by the way, I think this is the greatest thing we'll see when we get to heaven, it's the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 7, but he, and this is verse 55, 56, we made comment about some of these things last night about Stephen, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looketh up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible teaches we'll never see God. No man can see God and live. I don't think we'll ever see God the Father. I'm absolutely convinced we'll always see the Son, because God has chosen to honor the Son. And so He made the Son possible for us so that we can see Him. When I get to heaven, you know what I'll see? I'll see the Son. Do you look forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face? I've never met Him personally. I mean, I know Him by faith in my heart, and His Spirit dwells in me. But I mean, I know you personally. I see you. I can touch you. But I'll tell you, one of these days,
Amen.
Just like Jesus told Thomas, blessed art thou because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen yet believe.
Amen.
And that includes us, doesn't it? We hadn't put our hands in the nails of Jesus, nail prints of Jesus are in the side, but we believe it.
Amen.
And we'll see Him one of these days. When I get to heaven, we'll see God. We'll see Jesus Christ. Now, we also mentioned, and I just need to list this to you because we've already talked about one of the those possessors of heaven, and the angels. And so since they reside there, what do you expect to see? I don't know that we'll get a chance to really go up and talk to Gabriel. I guess we will, you know, or Michael. I don't know how all that works, but they'll be there. And so when I leave this place and I get to that place, I'm going to see angels everywhere of different sorts, and I'm going to see the Son of God. But I also will see something else, and it's going to be the throne of God. I'm convinced of that. Listen to Revelation chapter 4. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So John said when he was in the Spirit and he got a glimpse of heaven, what did he see? The throne. The throne. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I'll tell you what a wonderful thing it'll be to see the throne of God. Not only will you see the throne of God, do you know what else you'll see? What I will see, we will see the heavenly tabernacle. Did you ever stop to think about this? Often we just kind of pass over these things, but the book of Hebrews chapter 9 talks a lot about these the tabernacle. I'll read this to you. I'm going to pick you up in your turning to Revelation, so I'm just trying to spare you of trying to get to every text that there is. But listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So what you have to do is understand Hebrews and understand the discussion there about the earthly tabernacle Moses set up in the wilderness, about the tabernacle and the ark and the incense and the candlestick and all those things and the service there that went on. All that, Moses was designed it after the pattern that was showed him in the mount. He did, and all that, and that what it says in Hebrews is these things were purified by natural blood or the blood of animals and bulls and goats, but they were just patterns
right.
of the things. Where were they? In heaven.
Amen.
So that tells me that in heaven is a heavenly tabernacle. And the things that Moses designed by God's leadership and inspiration was a depiction of those things in heaven. I accept the scripture as it is. I believe that there is a heavenly tabernacle.
Amen.
And it said that Jesus went into the presence of God in that heavenly tabernacle. I believe he offered his blood upon that mercy seat there.
Amen.
That's my perspective of it.
Amen.
Just like the high priest would on the Day of Atonement. Christ went in, being our high priest, offered up his blood
Amen.
On the mercy seat in heaven. Well, what a thrill is that? Amen. Well, we'll get to see that one of these days. A connecting verse to this is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. And as I've already mentioned, as Moses was admonished of God when he's about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. All of it was a depiction of heaven. There is a heavenly tabernacle. Now the interesting thing is, when there's a discussion, and you're certainly welcome, turn over to Revelation chapter 21. That way we'll keep you in Revelation, and that way you won't have to go all over. Revelation chapter 21. Yet when you think about the description of the New Jerusalem, do you know what's mentioned about that in verse 22? He says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." It's interesting that the tabernacle in the wilderness was the center of worship. And when you get to heaven, there is a heavenly tabernacle there. But when he talks about the New Jerusalem, there is no temple therein. It's kind of interesting. But yet there's a heavenly tabernacle, but in the New Jerusalem there's no temple. So when you get that figured out, you can express that to me and explain it to me, but that's what the Bible teaches. So in New Jerusalem, that you won't find anything. Well, we have the introduction to New Jerusalem back up to chapter 21, verse 2. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to see the Son of God. I'm going to see the angels. I'm going to see the throne of God. I'm going to see the heavenly tabernacle. Well, we'll also get to see what? New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 23. "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And again, there's no temple in there. That's the Lamb is the temple and so forth. New Jerusalem, where did it come from? Out of heaven. Will I get to see New Jerusalem? Yeah. Matter of fact, I believe I'm going to walk the streets.
Amen.
So I look forward to that.
Amen.
Now, certainly there's a familiarity among us as we often hear messages about heaven. Back in chapter 21, book of Revelation, verse 3. I guess this would be a negative. What won't we see there? Well, there'll be no more pain. You get the idea. So there'll be bliss. Revelation 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." A lot of times when you hear preaching about heaven, that's all you hear. Well, there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. That's absolutely true. There's much more than heaven than that. But that is part of it. And so I remind you that when we get to heaven, we won't see any pain and we won't see any death. There are so many things that we will see. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, you're certainly welcome to turn back there if you wish. As already mentioned, we noted about the throne, we noted about the temple, but we're following up on the thought about no more pain and so forth. And so this passage carries through with that. So I guess three things in one shot right here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's heaven. I tell you, life is hard, isn't it? A lot of heartache. And if you haven't experienced it yet, you will. It's only a matter of time. But I'll tell you, in heaven, it really is a place of bliss. No wonder they called it paradise. It's just a wonderful place to be. One other thing before I draw a conclusion. Do you know what else you'll see in heaven? And I can't explain all this, but you know what? There's going to be some white horses. We don't think about that too much. You say, well, that's all figurative. I don't think it is.
No. Amen.
You got to be careful about making everything figurative. Revelation chapter 19. White horses. If I remember when I get done reading these verses, I'll tell you something that happened to my brother once, if I remember that far. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And if I have to spiritualize the white horse, I have to spiritualize him that sat upon that horse. And I don't think I have to spiritualize the one that sat upon the horse. The one that sat upon the horse is Jesus Christ. And he is real, and the horse is real.
Amen.
Of course, it has to be a glorified horse. Our horses don't fit up there because they're natural. So I don't know. There's glorified horses. I don't know how that works, but... Well, Revelation chapter 19, verse 14 says, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I take it literal. I do. I don't take it figurative.
Amen.
So I know in heaven we'll see some white horses. And I do remember what happened to my brother. He was a Sunday school teacher. And this student of his lost a pet. And was upset. I can't remember if it was a cat or a dog, but the child was really upset and asked my brother, said, are there going to be animals in heaven? And he said, no, there won't be any animals in heaven. Because, you know, she was just curious about going to see the dog again or the cat or whatever, you know. And this child was very astute. She said, well, there's horses in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, how do you answer that? Well, there might be a dog. I'm not sure. But I don't read in the scripture anything about dogs or cats, but I do read about white horses. So I'm going to leave that description right there. Let me say this in conclusion. I'm not done yet. Don't take a sigh of relief. Go, whoo. Not quite finished yet. In conclusion, number one, the Bible describes for us three heavens. I believe that. And of course, we're really concerned about the eternal spiritual heaven. I'm concerned about this one here too. I think we'll all take care of our planet. And I like living here. But you know what? This is not my home forever.
Amen.
And one of these days I'm going to die. And this earth is going to be destroyed. And I'm concerned about the eternal one. And mankind's worried about here. And they want to get to up into the second heaven and go from planet to planet and all that kind of thing. You know, Star Trek and all those things. You know, well, maybe they might want to do that. I could care less. I'm looking for the third heaven.
Amen.
The Bible describes for us three heavens. And we need to understand that. Secondly, the third heaven is the dwelling place of God, where we see His throne, His temple, and His glory. That's what the Bible teaches. God is there. Number three, we have seen tonight a brief description of the third heaven. I just gave you a scant. But before I finish, let me give you a little bit extra material. Do you ever stop to think about the book called the Book of Life? Luke chapter 10, verse 20, listen, says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, there's a book of life way beyond the skies, no stars. A book of life. Is your name written in heaven? And Jesus says, don't worry about all those things you can do here. You rejoice because your name is there. Because if your name is there, then you will be there. And you'll be able to inherit that. Revelation chapter 20, you're just a verse away or a page away. Look over there, chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, and stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. At the great final judgment of the mass of humanity, as they're coughed up from all aspects of this earth, they'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and all those books will be opened up, and one will be the book of life. And those who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And my friend, just as much as heaven is real, the lake of fire is real, hell is real.
Amen.
And so you think about the book of life, the name written in heaven. And of course, we already suggested unto you that we'll dwell there, that we're going to have life, but it's certainly going to be different than the life that we know, because flesh and blood cannot enter in there, but it must be a glorified body. Listen, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through verse 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
Amen.
And those of us who are saved right now, we're in the natural body, but one of these days at the resurrection, we'll have the spiritual body.
Amen.
You can't enter into heaven like you are now. Can't do it. You have to have a glorified body, spiritual body. So 1 Corinthians 15, 49 and 50 says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You have to be born again. You'll be raised from the dead. You'll have a glorified body. That's the only way you can ever enter into heaven. Without it, you can't enter in. It won't happen. Well, come down to the end of the message. Just two references left. I want to submit unto you, as we think about that book of life, and we think about that glorious life that we're going to have that's incorruptible. You know, and I just remind you, that there's a mansion that awaits those who believe. Remember what it says in John chapter 14, verse 1 down through verse 3? Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I don't care for the song that says, "Just give me a little shack in a corner of glory land." My friend, I look forward to the mansions on the hilltop. Amen. Jesus said there's mansions that are already there. They're not up there in construction. They're there. And he said, "One of these days I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you back there."
Amen.
So look up, look out beyond the stars, and know there's a heaven with mansions with your name on it.
Amen.
Man, if you can't get overexcited, that, as some guy said, it almost makes a Baptist shout.
Right.
But don't do that. Brother Jim might fall off. So don't do that. I close by saying this. How may we access the third heaven? You might be asking that question. Well, corruption don't inherit incorruption. How do I access the third heaven? Very simple text found in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, where does the Father reside? Heaven. Third heaven. No man will stand in the presence of the Heavenly Father in the third heaven except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, "It's but by me." So Jesus is the Son who left heaven, came to earth to be a sacrifice for sinners. died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He's at the right hand. One of these days he's coming back. I think he's coming back in the rapture. Then he's going to come back riding that white horse. And you know, he might even come back a few more times. But he's going to wrap it all up one day. And earth's going to be destroyed. Heaven and the heavens are going to pass away. But the third heaven's going to continue. And we who are saved will be in his presence. Amen. Giving praise and honor and glory to him. But oh, I'll tell you tonight, if you're lost, don't you understand you're going to be left out? You're going to exist, but you're going to exist in punishment and right. torment. And so I just don't believe it. I can't make you believe it. But I'm not making this up. It came from heaven.
Amen.
And I preach and tell you the things of God because they are from heaven. Won't you just believe it? Wouldn't you just respond to it as God moves in your heart and convicts you? Wouldn't you accept it? Say, yeah, that is from heaven. That means it's real.
Amen.
And I ought to believe it and respond to it. So sinner, would you be saved? Christian, man, you ought to take courage and rejoice. One of these days we'll be there. And we'll see Jesus face to face. Brother, this is yours.